Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And today's show, we are featuring the Sunlight, and that's spelled S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T, the Sunlight Curriculum. And our guest is Sarita Holzman. Welcome, Sarita.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
I know it's hard to find time in such a busy lifestyle, but the message that you have for our listeners today is so important. Sarita is the co-founder and president of Sunlight Curriculum. She and her husband, John, are considered leaders in the field of literature-based homeschooling, and they established Sunlight Curriculum 20 years ago. Their goal then was to provide families, and is still the same goal, to provide families across the globe with these rich resources that you need to raise lifelong learners who fervently pursue whatever God calls them to do. And I can't believe this. You know, this is overwhelming to me that someone could write so much, but Sarita and John have co-authored almost 50 Sunlight instructor guides, core programs, and study helps for topics as diverse as world history to science. Sarita homeschooled her own 4 children and cherishes the legacy of a family-centered, literature-rich home education. She now serves as a trusted guide to all of us on how to raise disciples with a heart for God's global work.
I love that statement, family-centered, literature-rich. Sarita, did you know 20 years ago that this is what you wanted for your children?
My goal from the very beginning was to raise up kids that love to learn. And I just firmly believe that as you read to your children, that you can really incorporate a lot of that into the life of your children. So maybe didn't have the big definition of it all, but I think the goal from the beginning has just been to read together and enjoy learning together. So I think it hasn't changed a whole lot. We probably honed how we phrased it all a little bit.
So it's story time. And for our story today, we're going to read one of the newsletters from Sunlight. Now, I'd recommend that you go to their website and sign up for their newsletter, too. Their website is www.sunlight.com, and Sunlight is spelled S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T. So our story time today is,
You know you're a homeschooler when... Okay, you know you're a homeschooler when your kids are in the kiddie pool playing Lewis and Clark and paddling down the river with lacrosse sticks. I could just skip that picture.
And you know you're a homeschooler when you find yourself and your guests at your birthday party at 10 p.m. embroiled in a lively discussion or explanation of the heart's size and function with your 5-year-old who just had to get out of bed and ask because she couldn't sleep until she knew.
I love that. Well, you know you're a homeschooler when someone borrows books from you because it's closer than the library and you have as varied a collection. Isn't that the truth?
That's so true. You know you're a homeschooler when your son asks to listen to the geography song CD every day at lunch.
You know you're a homeschooler when you can sing the countries of Africa, Algeria, Ethiopia, Liberia.
You know you're a homeschooler when you stop in the church parking lot to pick up a big rhinoceros beetle. Oh, we've done this before.
Yes.
It's dead and actually smells a bit bad, but you lay it carefully in the back seat because your kids have never seen one before except for the one in A Bug's Life.
You know you're a homeschooler when you go to the greenhouse in the summer to buy herbs and start talking to the kids about different kinds of plants. And then one of the workers asks you if you work there.
And you know you're a homeschooler when you're out with non-homeschooling families and they expect you to know the answers to everything, like the difference between a vegetable and a fruit and whether certain things like cucumbers are veggies. You know you're a homeschooler when you find yourself saying, "We were studying last week about such and such," and people look at you funny and you have no idea why. And you know you're a homeschooler when the doctor's, dentist, hairdresser's office is happy to schedule your child's appointment because you don't want one after 3 p.m. or during a school holiday, or you can take advantage of off-season rates because you make your own school holidays. Oh,
amen.
Yes.
Amen. We'd love to hear your, you know you're a homeschooler when story. So you can email them to me at rose@myhomeschoolcompanion.com. And Sarita, I'm sure you're always interested in these kinds of stories as well. Can they contact you?
They certainly can, and please do.
I want to congratulate you on your 20 years in the curriculum company. How did you start this business?
Well, my husband and I were on staff with a mission agency that helped people around the world. And my backyard neighbor lived in Morocco. And she came to me one day, and she said, we have a very similar style of teaching, and what we need to do, meaning what I needed to do, is start a company that picks the best of the best and put it in a box and ship it to friends of mine overseas. Because if you think it's tough to pick things here stateside, it's 20 times as tough overseas. And I thought, you know, I'm a relatively organized person. I have some time in the afternoon when my kids are sleeping. I think I could do that. Partially, we had been told that the second main reason people came home from the field was that they couldn't figure out how to educate their children. And I thought, boy, if I could keep a person on the field one more year by making education easy, that would be a very good thing to do. And that's really where it started, trying to service people. And in the beginning, we didn't advertise at all. And you'd finally get a customer maybe in Kansas City, and then you'd get 10 customers, because it was total word of mouth in the beginning. Very exciting times.
Yeah, so 20 years goes by pretty fast.
It does. I know that as a child, I was a child of missionary parents, and that was basically the main reason we came home from Nigeria was for the education situation, because my parents refused to send their children back to the States without them. So I definitely understand that. So what is your big picture of what education really is?
Well, I think education needs to provide kids with a whole set of culture. That's a huge package of things, but it should include cultural literacy so that when you read, you understand the big picture of what's happening behind what you see. We have to encourage our children to write clearly and well, help them achieve the highest level of mastery in math that they can acquire, train them to love and to serve the Lord. And I think that includes both giving them a clear knowledge and understanding of what the Scripture said, but also Bible verses memorized. I think kids just memorize so much more easily than we do at this point in time. I think we have to give our kids godly heroes. So we want to give them lots and lots of biographies, people, ordinary people who've gone out and done great and amazing things for God. We want to have them understand the big picture of history. And I think history differs from social studies, which studies little snippets of things, for example, a particular Indian tribe or the pilgrims, and you don't get the whole big picture and the flow of where these different events occur in history. And I think history is a stronger place to start. I think we need to train our children to think and to evaluate and to analyze. We don't want them to just suck in whatever comes their way, but to be able to critically evaluate and think about what they're learning. I think we want to help our kids understand their strengths and career interests. I think we really do that a lot through the electives that we offer them. For example, I didn't know my daughter was artistic at all until she took an elective art class, and she ended up being an art major. Go figure.
Wow.
And we have to raise up, ultimately, kids who love to learn. I think we can get in the mindset where we check all these things off and we say, oh, we are done educating you. But if they get to the end of their high school or college career and say, I never want to open another book,
mm-hmm.
we have failed in what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. To raise up kids that want to learn forever, boy, I think that's the ultimate goal of education.
Well, all of those words sound fantastic, but how do you put that in a box, in a curriculum?
We do it by giving a wide variety of books. So, for example, when I say we want to give godly heroes to our kids, in Sunlight, we offer a bunch of biographies that are included in there. We have a history theme, so we start with what we want the kids to know in a particular year, and we schedule all the books that relate to that historical period of time. We try to do our creative writing off of the things that the kids are learning in the different books that they're reading. For example, in middle school, they study plot as they read about books that have a strong plot. And so you try to do as many things as you can. Geography, we do that through the books that they're reading. So when you're reading about a girl who lives in Tibet, you go find that on the map. And hopefully you give your kids knowledge in the subset of what they're studying in different areas.
Now, did you start, you know, just with one grade and then gradually built your company up grade by grade? Because that's a lot of material to pull together for a number of grades.
When we started with K through 3. And you're right, it was a huge challenge. And, of course, it wasn't as robust as it is at this point in time. But we scheduled all the books. And what I did in the beginning was just picked some of the favorite books that I had remembered from my past, and we scheduled those into the curriculum. 4th through 6, we added the following year. And at that point, I thought, you know, I'm done. We've done as much as we need to do. And I thought, I don't have a vision for what we should do. And I woke up one morning thinking that this was the direction I needed to take for 7th through 12th grade. And at that point, having a framework or a concept of what I wanted for each grade, then it's just a matter of picking books and filling in and building up from that framework. So basically, K through 6, I had kind of set up one way, and then 7 through 12 came in, I believe, from the Lord.
Well, I do too. I think that the Lord is always in, you know, if you allow him, he will impress your mind with the directions and the things you should do, and I totally embrace that.
And we, you know, we hear a lot about lifelong learning, and lifelong learning, how do you instill that? You know, we were talking about how you failed if your kids finish, you know, 12th grade and say, I never want to see a book again. But how do you instill that wish to learn for their whole lives?
Well, I'm committed to, I truly believe that as we give our kids winsome and enticing and challenging and beautiful books, that our kids grow up to love to learn. I can remember when my daughter was in third grade, she sighed and said, oh, I've never read a book I haven't loved.
Well, oh, wow.
So if you have a child that says, books are my friend and I enjoy reading, and for science, when you have gorgeous picture books that your kids take down for their rest time in the afternoon and look through them, I just think we can't help but raise up kids that think learning is a good thing. When you contrast that with maybe adult textbook or something that disseminates the facts for you, that you read once and say, sigh and close, or hand your children books that supposedly everybody should read, and we do read those in somewhat as well, but we try to mix them with books that we read for the sheer enjoyment of it. But when you only read books, for example, Lord of the Flies, for example, if that's the only book you read in the school year, you do not come out of the year thinking, I love to read. And the goal, of course, would be that, yeah, right? Didn't you think that's
right?
Now, we do read Lord of the Flies, but we mix it up.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I know as a child, I love to read. But the other night, I gave my daughter a book to read that I had thought was interesting when I was a child, and I asked her about it this morning. She goes, oh, it was boring. And,
oh, <no.
laughs> and I was like, okay, well, we need to go somewhere else then, because I want my children to, I think the language is just so different from what it was maybe when I was a kid, because I look back at those books now and I think, you know, that was kind of boring. But I want my children to have that love and that lifelong learning. It sounds like your curriculum is just absolutely beautiful and something that draws them in, and exactly what we need for our homeschooled children, for all of our children.
Yeah, I'm looking at your catalog here, and of course, I would have to be drawn to these back pages, and you have a Sunlight Scholarship program. Maybe you could share with us a little bit about that.
I'd be glad to. About 10 years ago, because Sunlight does education so differently than everybody, back when we started Sunlight, we did education very differently than everybody else, using books mainly as our source of teaching, and just sitting on the couch together, reading together, and enjoying that time together. About 10 years ago, we thought, well, we think this is really working well, but let's start a scholarship program to find out how our students are doing. Basically, they have to have used a certain number of sunlight products. They have to apply, write some papers, that type of a thing. But what we found is that the caliber of kids that are graduating from the sunlight program is enormously high. They have very high SAT scores. They get into the best schools that they want to get into. I've had the privilege in the last couple of years of interviewing the scholarship winners, and they are articulate and sharp. And the thing that's so impressive to me is that they have such a wide range of interests. I think, okay, if you have a program that's going this direction, how in the world do you get kids that are so diverse? But I think we've seen that in colleges. If you have a liberal arts college, you have kids that go in a wide variety of occupations that come out of that, and this is that same kind of a model. So it was started basically to validate what we're doing, and I think that that truly has happened.
And where do you get the income to give this money away?
Well, it comes basically as we collect income from our customers. We siphon off a portion of that, and we just save that. It's set in account, and we just have that set aside for them. It's been careful husbanding of the funds that come in.
Well, I think that is a great aspect. I think every successful business, if you look at it, it's the giver-gain theory, where you are making sure that you are giving, and in that giving, you gain. Because I like your catalog, but I was drawn to that, and I believe that you can get a free one if you go on your website at sunlight.com.
And it's S-O-N.
Yeah, sunlight.com. Sarita, this is for you, Sarita. It's a question for you. Parents want the best for their children, and how can they encourage their kids to grow in their knowledge and compassion for the world?
I believe the best way to raise up kids that have a heart for the world is to read stories that take place in other parts of the world. And this is kind of a theme that I'm presenting here. And why I believe that's true is because you meet children who live overseas, and even though they have a different home and food and customs, you find out that people are really kind of the same thing worldwide. You have moms that still care for their children, who want the very best for their children. You have families that still interact with one another. So we can introduce our children to other cultures of the world and have them recognize that it's not scary to care for other parts of the world. And I think missionary biographies are critical to raising up a heart and a compassion for the lost. I think as we have our kids read or listen to stories about ordinary people who choose to leave their current land and go and live among a people who've never had a chance to hear the good news, I think we have a chance to impact our children's heart in that way as well. And a third way is to find a project that encourages kids to both give up some of their own cash and to pray for the lost around the world. And I'll use that as a segue. Sunlight is just starting a project to raise up funds for children's Bible clubs in India. India, if you look at the world, has the most unreached people groups anywhere in the world. If you look at, there's a map put out by the Conservative Baptists where they have in red the places where unreached people groups are, and India is almost totally bright red. It's just had very little impact of the gospel over the years. I think God is on the move in India, and what we found is children's Bible clubs are volunteers who go and teach collections of children Bible stories and Bible songs, and basically what they find is these children come to love the Lord through these Bible clubs, and more churches are founded through these Bible clubs than any other mechanism that the agency we're supporting uses. So for a dollar, a child can go to a Bible club, and we can have a huge impact on the world. I think it's important for our kids to give funds and to pray in order to raise them up with the heart for the world.
Amen. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I like to end every thing that you say with an amen, because it feels like a prayer. It feels like a communication with God.
Well, you talk a lot about books. In fact, books seems to be, reading seems to be your big thrust here. What do you think makes a truly great book?
Oh, I have, I actually wrote it down because they have to follow a 7-point test. That one, they have to have real or realistic characters. I think heroes shouldn't be flawless. You don't want people that are boring and cookie cutter. We want them to be struggling and wrestling like we all do with right and wrong and making decisions that are right. And here, and villains shouldn't be totally evil, because we just don't meet that many totally mm-hmm. evil people. They all have good qualities. So you want real and realistic characters. They need to be nuanced and complex, just the way people that we meet every day are. 2, they have to have solid character development. The protagonist must change for the better over the course of the book. We want to see our children, and we want that as an example for our children, that we are working on our character and developing for God's glory. At Sunlight, we want content that adds to a reader's cultural literacy. And I mentioned that in my first comment, that cultural literacy, where we have an understanding of the big picture. When you read, the author doesn't always give you the facts that are the basis behind things. There's a really interesting study done in a book by Hirsch called Cultural Literacy, where he takes, Robert E. Lee meeting Grant at Appomattox Station, and they gave it to some junior high students. They had a paragraph where they talked about that meeting between those two men, and then they had some questions afterwards. And a lot of kids did not have the cultural background to know that those two men met in the Civil War. It was the end of the Civil War, and they couldn't even answer the questions.
Wow.
So the idea being, you want to give kids enough framework that they can read whatever comes their way. And that, I believe, comes as we read a lot with our children. So we want to add to our understanding of the world and the events and the culture of things that are happening. It has to have a multi-dimensional plot. It can't just be one story that happens, but we want to have lots of different things that are happening underneath to make it more interesting. It has to be emotionally compelling. Somehow it has to move me, or we don't even like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be verbally beautiful. I think readers want to be able to read it either silently or out loud without major stumbling. And I guess the ultimate one is it has to be rereadable. You want to be able to read it again and again and still enjoy it. How many times have you reread your favorite books? And that's the goal, that we find books that kids want to read again and again.
Wow. So do you choose all the books for Sunlight by yourself? How do you do that? How do you choose your books?
Well, I read, and I have read for years and years. I probably read about a dozen books a week. And out of that dozen, you'll find just a few that are worthy of putting in. There's just not a lot of really great books out there. So I just, thankfully, I love to read. I'd rather read than eat. So it's, and I love to eat. So to spend time just reading lots and lots of books is really my heart's delight. And if I can find books that I can encourage kids to read and give them a passion for reading, oh, I'm a happy woman.
Yeah. 12 books a week. That's
wow. That's
it's not 12 war and peace. No, they are smaller than that.
Yeah, you're still a pretty prolific reader there.
Well, we always come to the end of the show, and I'm always so surprised because I think I have, a little bit of time left. But here we are. It's the conclusion, and you've been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media Ministries. And thank you so much, Sarita Holzman from Sunlight, for being with us. And thank you, Kathy, for being my co-host. For more information, be sure to go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. One last thing, God bless.